We have a real treat this morning. I've asked her to share with us for a few minutes. Many of you know our precious friend Linda, who has Kingdom Wings Ministries, and she is leading teams of people overseas and especially ministering to the women. And I've asked her to come and share with us what the Lord is doing through that ministry. It's pretty remarkable. How many know the Holy Spirit is alive and well? Yes. This is not just Memorial Day. This is also Pentecost Sunday, by the way. And so we honor the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're going to honor the moving of the Holy Spirit in the ministry that's taken place as well. So Linda Ka'anui, will you please come? Did I say that correctly? All right, very good. Let's welcome her to come. Do you want to use this one?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you, Pastor Kevin and Sherry, for giving me this chance to share with you. They know that this is something that's just so profoundly heavy on my heart, and so I just relish the chance to share this with you. I did bring some pictures. Okay, so Kingdom Wings is not really an official organized ministry, although we're working on it. It's really a group of us women who get together. We are from several different churches, and I lead this group, and we've been going to India now for about a month a year for the last 10 years. And what God has really, the vision He has given us is to really reach the women of India, because India, frankly, is a really horrible place to be a woman. Women are treated like pieces of property who can be bought, sold, traded, killed by their husbands, fathers at will. They say that statistically 100 women are killed every hour in India by family members because of marriage and dowry disputes. And the suicide rate among women in India is 21 times the world average. Female infanticide is rampant. A baby girl is born, and oftentimes the husband will forbid the mother to nurse it, just let it die, because we don't want a girl. So girls are so unwanted in India that they grow up knowing that I'm unwanted, I'm thought of as a disappointment and a burden, and they grow up with this identity of just being unwanted. And so there's a profound sense of shame that women carry for no other reason than just for being women. I'm inferior and a burden to my family. And so there's a constant pressure your whole life to justify your existence. You know, so you're constantly trying to earn your place, earn your right to be fed, earn your right to take up space in the family and earn approval and acceptance. So there's, you know, when we come to minister to women, there's this huge paradigm shift that has to happen through a powerful touch of God. And that's really our whole ministry, is to bring to them the truth that what your family has told you and what your culture has told you, what your religion has told you, is a lie of the devil. And that you are a child of God, that you are beautiful in His eyes, you're a treasured possession, that you have value, you have worth, you have intrinsic worth in the eyes of God. And that's really the whole heart of our ministry. And it's very difficult. You know, it takes us days. That's why we don't go in. We don't do big crusades with masses of women. We go in and we work with maybe 50 to 100 women, but we spend a week with them, just loving, loving, loving them, and having lots of time of ministry in the Holy Spirit, teaching from the Word of God on their true identity, who God really made them to be, with purpose and value and destiny. So that's what we do. So I'm going to show you some pictures, a little bit of this last trip, but one quick story, just to kind of give you an idea. And God is doing wonderful things with these women. I mean, I could talk all day just about the miracles that we see God doing with these women. But one girl in particular on a trip was only about 16, 17, but she was covered with tumors all over her torso, painful tumors. And on the last day, our team washes the feet of the women, because they have never had anyone show them respect or honor for the most part. And so they absolutely fall apart when we do this. And as we wash their feet, we're telling them, we honor you in the name of Jesus. We honor you in the name of Jesus. And this one girl did not want me to touch her. She was like, no, no, so shame, so shame. That was all. She knew very little English, but she knew. She could say, no, so shame. She was just too ashamed to even let me touch her. And so I just took her in my arms, and she cried for like an hour. And I just was holding her and saying, no, there is no shame. You are beautiful in the eyes of God. You are without flaw. You are his beloved. You are clean and perfect and flawless, you know. And I'm just holding her and holding her. So that was the last day, and she went home. Well, we prayed for her, but we didn't see her healed at the conference. But she had 3 days journey to get home. 3 days later, we got a call from her pastor and said that by the time she had arrived home, every tumor had disappeared and she was completely healed. So we just see wonderful things like this where God just is touching these women and just speaking to them deep in their spirit and just completely transforming their whole sense of who they are. And we just see them rising up from these really beaten down, fearful women to powerful women who now are just excited about God and so ready to carry. I mean, we sang that this little light of mine, and I kept thinking about all the women, you know, and no, they're big lights, like you said. And in spite of the most difficult circumstances, one woman told me she's the only Christian in her family, and the only time her husband won't let her read the Bible. The only time she can read her Bible is at 1, 2 in the morning by a candlelight in the outhouse. But she's there every 1 o'clock in the morning in the outhouse with her candle reading the Bible. So we've got no excuse. Okay, let's see. What do I do? I start this. Bottom button. Okay, but that's... Okay, this is our team. The two women in the middle are my friends, Jean and Rebecca, and some of you know Jean Jassis. She used to live here in Port Townsend. The man on the left, Rick Leatherwood, is from Kairos International. We invited him to come along with us, and he's been a missionary for decades, but for the last 10 years has been focusing on reaching illiterate, unreached people groups and helping them create an oral Bible through the tradition of storytelling. So a set of stories that go from Genesis to Revelation so that as their storytellers in their villages can take them through the Bible in oral Bible story form. So he came to work with 50 pastors while we were working with the women, and then at night we would have joint meetings together. The Indian couple, Sarah and Samuel, are our hosts up in the Siliguri, North India area. Sarah is also part of our teaching team, so wherever we go in India, we buy her a ticket to come fly and meet us, and she joins as part of our teaching team. Powerful, anointed woman of God. So, okay. So our first stop was in central South India, the city of Angola in the state of Andhra Pradesh. This was the first time they had ever done any kind of women's ministry in this area. They were like, what? Women's ministry? You bothered to minister to women? But it was wonderful. We had a wonderful time with them. We had about 65 women there. Okay, how come it's not? There we go. We do large sessions, and then we break up into smaller groups for a discussion of whatever we've talked about. They get to share personal application, what's going on in their lives and how to apply what we're talking about. Lots of prayer ministry time in our small groups. And we're teaching them to minister to one another and to pray for one another. It's something that's a little kind of unusual for them. Sometimes these women are the only Christian in their family, sometimes the only Christian in their village. So this is a chance, sometimes for the first time, that they've ever been able to meet another sister in the Lord and just pray with another woman and just share their hearts. We teach them to be still and listen, because when they come out of Hinduism, they bring this babbling, chanting type of prayer into their Christianity. And so we're teaching them that prayer is a conversation, that God has a lot he wants to say to you. But if you're going to hear him, you got to be quiet. And so we're teaching them to just get apart by themselves and be quiet and listen to that still, small voice and let God say, I love you. Learning, we had a session on just share on how God sets us free from all our fears, fear of the future, fear of man, fear of want, all our different fears, and fear of failure. And so we had a time where the women were just sharing their fears with each other and then praying and encouraging each other. Lunch line. Notice there are no forks, okay? Because if you're going to eat in India, this is how you eat. Really saves on dishes, though. We have fun. We talk a lot about being a child of the Father, getting out of that religious spirit, you know, which Hinduism smacks of, and just learning to be joyful and be kids, you know? Jesus says, unless you change and become like a child, you won't see the kingdom of God. So we practice being kids. Just playing some games. After that first conference, we went with a local pastor into this little village area where he's doing a church plant, and we were just going from home to home and praying for people and visiting, sharing the Lord here. That was a typical home, just one little room. This woman who had a paralyzed leg, God healed her while we were there praying for her. Yeah. Just some neighbors gathering to listen while we're sharing and praying for people. And we're right on the Bay of Bengal, Indian Ocean. Balmy, warm water like Hawaii. Of course, the women in India never go swimming. They're terrified of the water. They never go in. So they thought we were, had absolutely gone mad when we all ran in and went body surfing. In our clothes, of course. This is Rick teaching. You notice there are no words. He never uses any written words. It's all pictures and just storytelling. And the pastors loved it. It just, the lights just went on. So many pastors came up and said, we never understood the Bible as a whole before. I was just a bunch of disconnected parts. But now, so now we get it. The Bible's one story from beginning to end. It's God's story. We're up in the mountains now, up high. This is up in the Sikkim area, foothills of the Himalayas. We stopped along the highway, and they said, we're here. We're at the church. We're doing just a one-day seminar at this place. And we're like, we're where? We don't see anything around us except jungle. And they said, where's the church? Up there. So we hiked up this very steep hillside to the church, and there they were. Some of these, there were women here who had walked miles on these steep mountains to come to this meeting. And we fixed lunch for everyone, serving lunch. Now, the cliff drops off about 5 feet forward from this picture. Everything in this area is built on steep cliffs, and you can't get anywhere without going up and down a steep cliff. And right, this is the another church up in this area we went to. And just as you step off those steps, you're down the cliff. So you got to be really careful. So we were out of breath a lot on this trip. And that really is all the pictures I'm going to share. I just want to talk about, I only have a few minutes, but what we're doing is because 85% of India, is it still on? Okay. Lives in rural villages, hundreds of thousands of villages that have never heard the gospel before, and where 95% of the women are illiterate. We've been really focusing on the oral Bible approach and teaching women how to present the Bible in a chronological set of stories that goes from Genesis to Revelation, so, and teaching them to become storytellers. And so our big project that we're working on now is taking them through the stories, and the stories follow the thread of covenant, God's desire for intimate covenant relationship with us, right from Adam, from the garden to the end. It's the thread that runs through the Bible, God drawing us, restoring us, bringing us back into this relationship. And so we show them how all the stories all the way through are about that, and then teaching them to repeat the stories. So we are in the process of translating a set of stories into 10 major languages. India has 57 major languages and like 1,500 other dialects, but we're starting with the first top 10. And we've translated, edited, proofed, and are starting to record the first three. And part of this trip was I was working in the studio, and it was just amazing how God just orchestrated this far beyond anything we could have done, where he just brought us the perfect people with the perfect voices and a passion for the project, and just amazing. And one of the things that God had prophesied over us before the trip is that how there would be music to go with the recording that came from the heart of the people. It would be a song of the people. God sings over us, but our spirit resonates with him and we sing back to him, you know. And so there was to be a song that rose up from the heart of the people, not an imported Western song. And he promised us that. So I'm in the recording studio with this Bengali pastor, and this young man comes in and he sees this guitar and he picks it up, and I'm like, oh, you know, you play guitar. Yeah. Do you write music? Yeah. Well, would you like to sing me one of your songs? I'd love to sing you one of your songs. You speak Bengali? Is that your mother tongue? Yeah. He sings this amazing song. It's beautiful. And I'm like, what are the words to that song? He shows me the lyrics translated into English. It was exactly the whole theme of our stories, God's desire for intimate relationship with us. And I said, have you ever recorded this song? No, but I'd really love to. I've always wanted to record this song. Could we record this song and put it with our, you know? Yes, you know. And so just things like that just kept happening. He brought us a Nepali. He brought us a Hindi. And just, you know, nothing we even had made an attempt to do, God just brought it in. And so we're just really excited. Once these stories are recorded, then our project will be to have them programmed onto a mobile phone SD chips, which the women can pop into their phone. They will have them to learn the stories and then retell them themselves. The stories have, like, it's not just the story. There's also discussion questions and then, like, a closing prayer and a memory verse. So it all can be done orally once the woman, and you just, and each story is just 5 minutes. You know, anyone can learn and retell. And so as these women have this idea that I'm not educated, I haven't been to Bible school, I'm just a woman, I can't do anything, you know, but once we've walked through this with them and we've practiced and we've told stories to each other back and forth and gone through the dialoguing on the story, we're like, okay, you know, was that easy? Yeah. Can you tell a story? Yeah. Can you talk about the story? Yeah. So you can do this, right? Yeah. You don't have to go to Bible school, do you? No. And they just, you know, they're so excited. And the neat thing is, you know, we work with 4 or 5 major ministries in India in different areas, but a lot of them have never done women's ministry before. It's always for the men, you know. So we come in and we do this, and they're realizing we have an army of women here that's going untapped. But God is touching them. God is just lifting them up. He's transforming them. And they are so ready to go. And they don't care. You know, they've already been persecuted. One woman, she told me her father's already tried to murder her 3 times. You know, and God has miraculously stopped him every time. You know, and they are so on fire. They're just like, yeah, give, you know, we're so ready. Once you have these, you know, they're ready to go. They're ready to go into the villages. And time is of the essence because the new prime minister elected last year, Modi, his party is known as the BJP party, and it is the militant Hindu party. It is rabidly anti-Christian. And he has a whole government department now that is doing nothing but searching the internet, very tech-savvy department, searching the internet, finding Christian ministries and shutting them down, and denying visas to missionaries and kicking them out. Just in the last few months, 18 ministries have been shut down in India. And he has declared his agenda is to eradicate Christianity from India by 2020. So time is of the essence, you know. So my burden for India just, you know, just increases all the more because I feel like the doors may shut, like they shut in China, like they shut in Iraq. The doors may shut someday, sooner than we think. And it's very important that we leave behind a church with a solid foundation. So that's, you know, that's our burden. And I just really appreciate, you know, being able to share that with you.
Where can they go to find out more about Kingdom Wings online? Don't you have kingdomwings.com? Is that what it is?
It's just a blog site, but there's information there. It's kingdomwings.wordpress.com.
Okay. All right. Hallelujah. She said they're uneducated women. How many in this room could handle with an SD chip? Just put it in your phone. Father, we thank you for the ministry that's going forward. We believe you, Lord, for doing great things. We thank you for the burden and for Linda and the team, and pray that the gospel will continue to go forth all around the earth. You are in charge. And when man tries to rise up and shut doors, you're the God who knows how to blow through those doors, open windows when doors shut, whatever you need to do, because you are bigger. And we thank you, Lord, that you are great and greatly to be praised. Yes.